how do you feel about sharks? I guess many of us have a love-hate relationship with them. I find them fascinating, but don't necessarily want to run into them while I'm diving. This week in Cairns, 200 shark experts are talking about the latest research on these impressive marine creatures. Colin Simpfendorfer is the Director of Fisheries Research at James Cook University, and Professor Chris Lowe is a marine biologist from the California State University. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
At the moment, how is the health of our sharks? How plentiful are they?
I think there are over 1,000 species of sharks in our oceans globally, and there are a number of species that are, you know, in a fair bit of trouble. There are, you know, here in Australia and around the world. But there are a whole lot of other species that are doing quite well. So it's a really mixed bag in terms of the sharks. So.
Mm. And I'm wondering with both of you where this fascination began with sharks, Chris?
Well, I grew up in Martha's Vineyard, so there was nothing to do but fish and dive. And I was catching sharks as a kid, and that's kind of how it started for me.
Yeah. I fell into it. You know, I was at university. I was interested in fish and stuff, and a project came up on sharks, and I thought, well, that sounds pretty cool, and it sort of went from there. And you know, 20 something years later, it's still sharks, and it's been a really great sort of accident.
I suppose here in Australia, we have a bit of a thing with sharks. You might hear about the occasional shark attack. When people think of sharks, they immediately think of this huge creature that is going to attack you. But there are so many species, as you said, and there's only a few, I imagine, that would eat us.
Yeah, it's less than 1% of shark species that are even dangerous to humans.
And less than 1%?
Absolutely. And so it's a very small amount. And I think, you know, the fear that we have as humans of sharks is somewhat disproportionate to the reality of the situation.
So in that 1%, what we'd have the great whites, what, tiger sharks?
Tiger sharks, bull sharks, some of those, you know, those larger sharks that certainly come along around the coast quite a bit are the main ones that are, you know, that interact with humans the most.
Chris, your area of speciality is shark behaviour. Do you focus on a particular species?
Well, I've done a lot of work on tiger sharks and, of course, white sharks and hammerheads and things like that. So, you know, these are all sharks that have a fair bit of charisma. The public, of course, know many of these species and recognize them.
That's a good word for it, charisma. I like that.
Absolutely. But they're actually really interesting species, and we have a lot to learn from them. And they hold really important, they play really important roles in the ecosystems, keeping our reefs healthy and things like that.
Well, let's talk more about that. What can we learn from sharks?
Well, so we, in the last 10 years, we've learned some remarkable things, like white sharks crossing oceans. You know, we had no idea that the entire Pacific is their home. Same thing for tiger sharks. So, you know, what we've really learned in the last 10 years based on advances in technology, telemetry, GPS technology, is that some of these animals range over wide areas, which means if one country is going to set out to protect them, that may not be enough. It's really important that we work globally to protect some of these species.
And what role do they play in keeping our oceans?
Well, they're
healthy.
Important apex predators. They're like many of the predatory whales and things like that, and they help keep other populations in check.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we protect other species like marine mammals worldwide and we see their populations coming back, those predators will be very important in keeping those populations healthy.
And when it comes to sharks, are we the main predator for them?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the biggest threat to shark populations is fisheries. And there are other threats as well, but fisheries is by far the biggest threat.
And what about other things like, you know, climate change, the warming of our oceans? What sort of impact might that have on shark populations?
Probably a really good question, and one we know very little about. You know, we're just starting to get an understanding of how climate change may affect shark populations. But, you know, we have a couple of papers at the conference that are talking about that. But our understanding is very, very basic at this point. And we know there will be effects, but we just don't really understand what and how big they will be.
I'm speaking with two of the shark experts speaking this week at a major conference in Cairns. Colin Simpfendorfer is from the Fisheries Research Centre at JCU, and Professor Chris Lowe is from the California State University. Just in terms of the pressures on sharks through things like fisheries, I mean, how well managed are things at the moment?
I think it's a mixed bag in terms of management. When you look around the world, you know, it's very variable. Some countries, there is absolutely no management of sharks. In places like Australia and the US, you know, there is quite strict management of shark fisheries and the take of sharks in fisheries. But we can always do a much better job. You know, we still have a relatively poor understanding of many of these species. And, and you know, conferences like, you know, Sharks International is really helping us get fisheries managers and researchers and conservation advocates together and work towards, sort of better understanding and management about those populations.
Chris, what will you be doing at the conference? Are you delivering a particular paper? Or?
Yeah, I gave a keynote talk yesterday about shark behavior and how far we've come in the last 20 years. So, and it's been remarkable because at this conference, probably 30% of the talks have been on shark behavior. So it's fantastic to see how far we've come and how much work is being done here in Australia. Quite often, you know, I'm living in America, we hear all the things that are going on in the States, but we don't hear as much what's happening internationally. And that part's been great.
Yeah. And I think one of the, you know, Chris's talk yesterday was really interesting. And I think one of the real sort of interesting things that Chris observed was that, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, it was very much about, you know, protecting humans from sharks. Mm. And it's come full circle now, and we're really more looking at, you know, how do we protect sharks from humans?
That's interesting, isn't it? It has come full circle. Well, just talking about that issue, what about shark fin fishing? You know, where sharks are caught, their fins are cut off for use for, you know, in food or whatever it might be. How bad is that at the moment?
I think there's certainly in some parts of the world it is a very big issue, and it's one of the big issues that the shark populations face. And the fin trade certainly is, you know, in a global sort of perspective, is one of the big drivers in the exploitation of sharks. And so, you know, a better understanding of those processes and the impact it has on shark populations is essential to really making sure we do globally a really good job at managing our populations.
Now, you can go to restaurants in the far north and look at the menu and you can get shark fin soup. Should we be concerned about that?
Not overly. You know, many of the shark fins that are produced in Australia are legally produced. They're taken when sharks are harvested for consumption of the meat as well. And so there are certainly some are obtained illegally, but the vast majority of fins that you find in Australia are legally obtained.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, I'd like to know a little more about how you study shark behaviour. Do you attach things to sharks? I mean, how does it work?
Absolutely. We've come a long way. In the old days, people used to go out and dive with them, and of course you were really limited to how much you could actually see and observe. But now, with the new telemetry tools that we have, acoustic transmitters, satellite transmitters, we can watch sharks cross oceans. We can watch them make dives down to 2,000 meters. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah. So all these things are really changing our perspective, and it's very important for management because we're learning that you just can't protect a species in a country. Many of these species have no idea where those borders are. Mm. And we now know, based on this new technology, that these animals are crossing borders all the time. Mm. So it really brings together a kind of a global call for conservation. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing at this conference. Mm.
Do you think we need to change our attitudes towards sharks?
I think it's already changing. So, you know, the best example I have is if you look at how people perceived whales. Mm. You know, back in the 20s and 30s, they were considered dangerous. They killed people. And somewhere around the 70s, they got really good PR agent who did a good job at convincing people that these are important animals, they're intelligent, they deserve to be protected. And I think that sort of same PR is now starting to happen for sharks, and people are having a different perspective.
Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And we
no
look
problem.
Forward to hearing more of the research that comes out of the conference. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Professor Chris Lowe is from California State University. He's a marine biologist. And Colin Simpfendorfer, director of the Fisheries Research Centre at James Cook University, here from a major conference on shark research this week in Cairns.